Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That time of the week again, the Rugby League rant, fifth and last. Put on your headgear, chuck in your mouthguard and get ready for an hour of nothing for the NRL Tour. And here we are on an unusual Wednesday night for the fifth and last NRL podcast. Boxhead, how's your week been?
Different. Yeah, different.
Different? How so?
Just some different stuff going on with footy this week. And yeah, weather and school, a couple of things that aren't normal. So yeah, it is what it is.
Well, there you go. And that's the first thing I'll explain. As usual, messages from people. Are we missing? Have we been taken by a drug cartel? Are we smuggling? Have we gone underground?
No. Have we moved to the Ozarks?
As usual, it's my fault. Work called in last night, was out until 2 a.m. digging up some poor bastard's front lawn to try and fix their power. We tried to hook it up again today in between me going back to work and you going to school, but we're finally sitting down to do it tonight.
Yeah.
We always find a way. We always find a time, and of all weeks to happen, probably the best week possible because Magic Round kicks off a day later. So there's still 2 days in between.
Yeah.
And how good we've got here. We were going to be attending, but you just mentioned it before. Different week for football for yourself. You are part of the staff for the New South Wales Rugby League City vs Country game.
Yeah.
So Ron Massey, Cup's best players are selected to go up against some of the best from the Group Rugby League out in country. So Illawarra Comp, Group 9, so places like Gundagai, Wagga Wagga, etc. There's a few of those comps together. They pick their best. There's a lot of under-20s and New South Wales Cup-style players. There's a couple of ex-NRL players in that country team, in Zach Sadler and Darby Medlin. So it should be a good game.
It'll be a good week.
There's 16s, 18s, women's, all at Leichhardt over 2 days, I think it is?
I think Saturday's at Brookvale.
Okay.
Or Four Pines, or whatever they're calling it. Then we're at Leichhardt on Sunday. So it'll be good. We were at the New South Wales Centre of Excellence last night. Impressive facility that's the first time I've been through it in its entirety. We'd obviously been there a couple of times through our time doing Harold Matts and SG Ball, but it's a great facility, and got to train on the main deck there last night, and it was unreal. They even showed us the entry to the tunnel where the Blues come out for the home origin, sort of. Yep. Where they enter, and obviously they come out at the stadium. So yeah, it's a really, really impressive
good week
facility.
Ahead.
Yeah, we're back there again tomorrow night, and then at Albury Keach, Mountie's home ground, on Saturday for Captain's Run and a bit of a lunch. Tomorrow night we're training, and then over for some dinner. So yeah, really impressive bunch of guys. Like, we've got a very young squad at the moment at Mountie's in our New South Wales Cup and Ron Massey Cup, but a lot of experienced heads, like you said, guys that have played a lot of Cup, a little bit of NRL, been in NRL squad. So I've certainly noticed a difference, probably just in terms of experience.
Mm.
And having a couple of those older guys there. And it certainly does make your job a lot easier as a coach. There won't be much over-coaching happening this week. So
yep. Well, if you're in Sydney this weekend and you're looking for your rugby league fix with the NRL games up at Magic Round, no doubt you'll be looking to take as much of that in as possible on your TV. But during the day, over those 2 days, go to NewSouthWalesRugbyLeague.com and you can see the lineups, the times, the grounds for those games. Like Brock said, Sunday, Leichhardt, 2 p.m. for the Ron Massey versus City versus Country for the open age football, basically. But 16s, 18s, women's, there's a lot of good up-and-coming talent, especially those 16s, 18s teams. There'll be a lot of guys that would have featured in the Matt's SG Ball comps. There'll be players that will be coming up for the future for your clubs. But a bit of a difference tonight. Instead of doing the set of six, most of the topics would have been overdone the last couple of days. Some of the points we would have made, I'll just roll into the game reviews, which will obviously be probably a bit shorter as well. And then we'll talk a little bit more about Magic Round and obviously do our tips and our previews to get something out.
You're still going to get the same content. You're just going to get it in a different format.
100% right. Like I said, most of those points will relate to those teams when we talk about the games anyway, but this show is always brought to you by bluebet.com.au. If you're going to have a bet with anyone, do it with bluebet.com.au. Download the app today. App Store, Google Play Store, or visit the website. There is no one better. And the charity bet, we were robbed this week. Big Talma. It was my bet. The first one, fair enough, it was a no try. But the second time, he just had to ground it.
Yeah.
And he bounced it. That would have been a nice collective 300 plus. But unfortunately, two times over the line, no try, and another loss. So we're still on $322.50.
That's okay. We're plugging away all right.
I appreciate the effort. But if you get over twice when you're a big man, you got to get one.
You got to get it down, big dog.
You got to bank one, Talma. Come on, big boy.
You got hands like dinner plates.
$300+. That would have been very, very nice for the charity.
Geez, he's speaking to Taumalolo, hasn't he? Found some nice form in the last, particularly the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've really noticed his impact.
Well, Taumalolo, Holmes, like the two big guys there with the huge paychecks.
Holmes had his best season since he's
been at the Sharks.
Since the Sharks, that's right.
The real question mark, like I said, wasn't the green shoots that I was confident of. It's what you could do with those other guys. And Todd Payton certainly got buy-in from the two deals that most of us would have looked at in the offseason and said, oh, they're big problems.
They were big problems last year, weren't they?
So. Exactly, because it wasn't his doing. You arrived to the club and you looked and thought you're going to have to work around them. But if they keep playing the way they are...
Yeah, they're living up to their money.
They're living up to their money, and then you've got the kids coming through, which is a bonus. So
it's that old adage that you need to be influencing results, and they 100%. Both are at the moment.
Very much so.
In a positive manner.
And instead of the power rankings this week, we're going to have the Penrith Solar Centre Powerful Moment of the Week. And I think... there was no moment probably more powerful than Parramatta knocking off Penrith. And for anyone out, and this is going to be one of the points in the set of six, so we may as well get it out of the way right now. If you can beat Melbourne in Melbourne, and if you can beat Penrith at Penrith, you are a genuine contender. The difference for Parramatta is those games like the one against the Tigers, which is the difference between being in the top four and getting two bites of the cherry or not. And that is the big thing that they need to fix.
Yeah.
Because it's games like the other week, when we get to the back end of the season, that you'll sit back and you'll go... that's why we're not playing at home week one, or that's why we've only got one chance and we have to win our way through. So if they needed any more belief, I know the fans were a bit disillusioned what happened against last week against the Cowboys. That's the point. The difference between their best and their worst is still too far apart. Their best is obviously good enough to win the competition.
Completely agree. But yeah, it's consistency. The West Tigers one, they got rolled by a field goal. They got beat by the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going.
And yeah, they're going good.
We might look at that in, 3 months' time and go, well, that was actually a good loss, really. Well, not that it's ever going
to
be a good loss.
No, the scoreline wasn't
good, but it was actually a fair loss. I mean, at the start of the year, you would have circled that one and thought that it was a game that you would win.
Yeah.
But again, this is what I keep harping on about it. Like, draws mean nothing. Last year's form means nothing. What matters is what's happening week to week. And yeah, Parramatta, they did this last year. This time last year, they beat Melbourne in a rain fest at Bankwest.
Yeah.
And they beat Penrith early doors at Parramatta Stadium. This was both pre-lockdown. So they'd beaten Penrith and beaten Melbourne at this stage of the year as well.
There's plenty to play out. Origin, so, injuries, etc.
You know, and look at what happened to them at the end of the year. They were, a feather away from realistically knocking Penrith out.
Yeah.
So I said this last year, there's no question that they're going to get to finals. Like you said, top four is going to be vitally important for them.
Have to be top four.
But that 4 weeks is going to determine how we look at Parramatta and how we judge their season.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, they need to position themselves in the best possible manner.
Exactly. And for this week, they are the Penrith Solar Powerful Moment of the Round. They ended Penrith's home-winning streak. They got back Laiota. They got back To'o. They were full strength. We were there. It was absolute madness. And that's just another one of those moments where if you're Brad Arthur, you go, look at this. We can do it. We need to win those other games that we should win. We need to get into the top four, and this year is it.
Mm.
Because, as we know, there's still more talk around contracts and players. We know guys are moving on. We know they've locked up a couple of key guys, but there's still more to play out for them, and their squad's going to look very, very different next year. So 2022 is a huge season for the Parramatta Eels. But don't be sidelined by rising power bills this season. The team at Penrith Solar are dedicated to providing Western Sydney with the highest quality energy experience. Get them today. Get on the phone, 1800 20 29 30, www.penrithsolar.com.au. Tackle those bills head on with the help with Penrith Solar. First game to have a look at, South Broncos, 32-12 to the Broncos. And I guess the South's frustration sort of just continues, in all honesty. I think they generate enough opportunity. They get enough tackles inside 20. And I know a lot of people are talking about Cody Walker. I think enough is being done to get him opportunities. Probably the big thing that summed it up for me is just when you're in one of those purple patches or in your really good form and you're seeing everything, it just feels like everything's easy as a player. And at the moment, it seems like he's easily frustrated, he's angry, and things aren't easy. There was a 3-on-1 that last year he would have just absolutely brained on the weekend that he just mucked up. And it's little things like that that you're sitting there going, I think he just needs to clear his head, get back to neutral, and ease up a little bit, because it only took 5-10 minutes in that game to have Billy Walters and him niggling, and he was off his game and very angry. And they obviously didn't help themselves again. Too many errors, too many wasted plays, pushing passes. But in particular, Cody Walker, I thought was going to be a real barometer from this season. And the other night, I think he boiled over a little bit.
Yeah, but you miss your steering wheel. The difference is you can compare that game. It's the perfect comparison that South are sporadic. They don't have direction. And Brisbane have a steering wheel. Like some of the things that Brisbane are doing is horrible. During the middle of their sets, they at times lose direction. They play very one out. There's not a lot of polish to what they're doing in the meat of their sets. But Reynolds just puts them in a good position at the end of their set every time. And some of the stuff that he did in that last sort of 30 minutes was unreal to get the result. And it looked to me like he was really keen to make a point about, you know, what they'd lost. And I've been pretty strong on it. And I just think South are missing that play that moves them around the park, that allows Cody Walker to be what Cody Walker is. And now you're in a position where you either need to live with Walker, because that's what Walker's been. That's the way that Walker's played. He's continued to play that way without the steering wheel. So now you either need to ask him to rein his game in and get a little bit of that direction into his game, which probably should have been something that was done over the off season, because it would have been glaringly obvious during trials and, you know, any opposed stuff that they did that was going to be an issue, not having that kicking game, not having that general in the middle of the field. And I don't think it's fair on Ilias. I don't think the commentary around Ilias has been fair in that, you know, they expect him to be like Reynolds, because he's not, and he's never going to be at this point in his career. But they need to provide the framework to allow him to become that player. And at the moment, I don't think they're doing that. They're putting a lot of pressure on him because their experienced players are either A, not playing with enough discipline, or B, they're not providing the team with enough direction, particularly at the end of their sets.
Or they're not on the field. That's the other thing that sort of compiled on them fairly quickly. At the start of the year, there was no Latrell, and then he only plays a couple of games and he's missing. You've got Cam Murray now injured.
But I'm not sure Latrell helps them on Thursday night.
I think that really makes a difference in terms of your edge attacks and shifts and shapes. I think at the moment, everything you can basically
look where Cody Walker is. Field position to use the ball.
I thought they had enough field position. They just bombed their opportunities. Brisbane had 14 errors, and half of those weren't actually errors. They were knockdowns inside 20, stopping passes or getting things wrong. That's more what I mean from Walker. I thought they had more than enough opportunity inside 20, but he's just not as clear in his vision or his execution as he was in previous years. He looks frustrated.
Well, no, he's the same player. He's frustrated because he's not getting that really good, smooth play inside him.
I think
it's having a huge impact.
I think Ilias has done a pretty good job.
The other thing is, they're not winning the middle of the field at all.
And that's the point I was going to make. If there's a real thing that's glaring right now, it's two things for me. Yardage game's not great, and they're not winning the middle.
Mm.
And I think the two guys, like I said, most weeks, it absolutely bust themselves. But
this time last year, they got popped by 50 twice.
Yeah.
And they weren't winning the middle of the field. They got better as the year went on.
100%. So. But I have more concern now, knowing that obviously Reynolds isn't there. Latrell, they're sending him to US for rehab. That's not good. Two guys that are missing. Murray this week, they're now saying he's potentially going to have minor shoulder surgery.
Yep.
So that's another player out. You Gagai, obviously, all these guys we mentioned before. So things have sort of added on. They're sort of at that 50-50 mark. The draw, like we talked about, you can't rely on it. But realistically, after the form line we've had to start the year, the draw for them right now is looking pretty friendly.
Yeah, but they're going just as bad as
exactly, all that. And that's the point. With bodies missing, with the origin period coming up, and you haven't won as many games, this is a real critical part of the season for them. Because if they go the next 4 or 5 weeks and only win, say, one or two of these games with those players missing and those guys come back and go into Origin or get to the back end, they're going to have to chase wins at the back end of the year.
Yeah.
You sort of need to have yourself in a good position pre-Origin. So for Souths, frustrating night. And again, summed up by moments like that, or Totola, like they score points, you're dropping off the kickoff. Next one, there's a sweet play for an outside back. He jumps in the way, knocks it on. Those two errors both led to points. He ended up getting the old hook. Reynolds, outstanding, really made it a point of picking on short outside backs, which is another issue in terms of them with their kicking game. They are a team you can pick on.
Yeah.
They've got shorter guys playing the outside backs. Taff, wholehearted, big fan, genuinely, like I said, he can play halves, play fullback. Halves probably his better position, but they really made it a task of picking on him as well, with guys like Cobbo and all their bigger outside backs running through, Corey Oates, etc. And like you said, that was the difference. And I thought Pat Carrigan and Tom Flegler were outstanding.
Mm.
No Catewell, no Haas. Those guys really stood up. I thought Carrigan a couple of years ago was a guy that would definitely get into Origin talks or push himself into that sort of arena. But it's games like the other night, off the back of an injury, your first game back, to put that sort of effort in, that put your name up in that sort of arena. So, yeah, good signs for them. And like you said, probably the big difference, it's still ugly at times, but Reynolds just can reel things back in on play five. So, yeah. Interesting to see how things play out for them in the next few weeks. It's been a bit of a mixed form line. Couple of wins, couple of losses. Now a couple of wins again for Brisbane. And they've got Manly this week. And for Souths, this week they play the Warriors, who, same deal. Beat by 70, get a win. Can't beat 12 players. It's a real mixed bag. But, yeah, no Murray. No Luttrell. No more troops to really reach for. It'll be interesting to see how Souths play the next few weeks and if they can spark something this weekend. Raiders Dogs 14-4. This wasn't really the prettiest game on the eye to watch, in all honesty. And probably if I was disappointed more than anything, this one, it was with the Bulldogs. Because the week before, I thought the effort, which has been there all year for the most part, against the Roosters in particular, they just found more and more energy. They kept digging. They held on, and early doors, and from a few players, I saw some signs of that energy. But against Canberra, I felt they kind of dropped down a few pegs. They had opportunities. They had a few no tries early on. Matt Burton, wholehearted, ran the ball plenty, tried. Addo Carr tried really hard as well. Pungai Jr., I thought, was really lucky not to be in trouble early on for that strike on the ground. We were watching that before we went over to the Panthers game.
Yeah, well, I thought it was at least a sin bin. Trent Barrett concurred, because
if you read his lips, and I'll just tell you, because I put these up as explicit on iTunes, so I don't swear, but he said he's very fucking lucky on the TV. So
he was right.
Don't think he was wrong about that, but I didn't think
Canberra... It was just an ugly game.
It was ugly. Canberra went a whole lot better, but they needed a win.
Mm.
They got one. I thought probably the best thing for them, when we said it the other day, their pack's going to need to do a job, and Tapai and Papali, Elliott, etc., these guys, almost all up close near 200 metres, did a job much better in terms of errors and discipline. And, you know, I think Matt Frawley, if there's one thing you know about Matt Frawley, you're going to get a steady hand and a good kicking game. And he was very, very good, particularly short kicking game. Built pressure, got some repeats, turned the screws, and for the Bulldogs, wasn't a happy night then. So Canberra get themselves out of that bottom group. Dogs take a step backwards. But yeah, I didn't really know what to make of that game, to be honest. It was pretty average, in all honesty.
Pretty much.
So Canberra this week back up against the Sharks, who they defeated in round one. Interested to see how they go. And it was the return of Jared Croker as well, which a lot of people called for. Then the poor bugger's busted his shoulder. So potentially could be a couple of weeks, but they're saying it may be the worst outcome, which could be a reconstruction. That would be season over before it even got going. Mm. So if you're a Canberra fan, that's disheartening, that's for sure. Eels, Panthers. What a game that was. We attended that one.
Yep.
What are your thoughts? 22-20.
I thought Penrith were clunky. Really, really clunky with their execution. And I thought Parramatta caused the majority of that. They rattled them. They just thought they won the middle of the field. They didn't out Penrith, but they certainly made a point of, putting the ball in the corner, smacking up on Penrith a little bit, which I thought was a good tactic. And, they weren't real fluent in good ball. They sort of got that try the opening try through, I think it was Penasini spun out and threw it to Gutherson. The other one, the penalty try where they, you saw it was a little bit messy and a loose ball was picked up and it was, what's the hooker's name? Was it Marnie that scored that try? Yeah, Marnie scored that try.
Sin bit as well, wasn't it? Salmon.
Yeah, it's like the construction of them wasn't pretty, but the good thing for Parramatta is they put themselves in good field position, and that's always a key against Penrith. And the only time that Penrith looked like they were going to come into the match is when that field position changed. It just felt like Penrith were on the wrong foot all night. Something was a little bit off, and I've watched a lot of the Panthers live. That was as unconvincing as they've looked for quite a while, but you know, I think you've got to give some credit to Parramatta.
Yeah, the other thing, one thing that Penrith generally don't do, penalties out of yardage. It seemed a couple of times there they were turning the screws on Parra. They gave a penalty away. Yeah,
play I thought the game was over refereed. Sutton just got too involved for me. I think particularly with two sides like that who are, you know, it's going to get ugly at times. They're going to be, you know, in each other's faces. It's just important to keep them apart and let it flow. I thought he added, you know, a lot of stoppages himself. So I don't think that benefited either side. I just think it dowled the spectacle.
Yep. Well, it was a hell of a contest, I thought. Look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I loved every minute. I was a neutral. I didn't care. No, I just wanted to see a great game of footy.
Both neutrals, but like we said again, great game to be out live after the couple of years we haven't been able to go to games. That was absolutely outstanding. And I think for Ivan, this is one of those moments where it obviously does hurt, and it hurt the group, and that showed afterwards with the way they reacted, some of the footage from in there. But it's a real good opportunity, especially when you've got a younger group and you've got some newer guys in that have been enjoying the fruits of nothing but wins, to sort of reload here and put it back on them. That, you know, you still have to do the little things, you still have to be disciplined.
Yeah, but to be fair, that home streak, that home streak should have ended last year when Moses missed that
penalty
conversion, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Parramatta have had the chance of beating twice at home.
You take a few bullets out of this that you can sort of put back on the group and, you know, reinforce that there's still stuff to work on. We're not perfect. We can't roll through anyone when we feel like it. We can't turn up, you know, give away shit penalties and some bits and pieces. We need to be on all the time. So I'm sure they'll want to get back to neutral, build up that home record again. I've no doubt the next team that rolls into Penrith Stadium is going to be up for a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
But for Parramatta, huge. And Dylan Brown made a real big difference, obviously, sending back in the halves. They had that extra body available in Opacek, which allowed him to do that last week, like we spoke about. He just keeps, I think, adding dollars onto his contract the way he's playing.
Yeah.
He started the year great. They got him back on his left-hand side. He's been real influential. He had some real critical moments, like I said, in a big game the other night. He's obviously taken up his option for next year, and Parramatta would be happy about that. But like I said before, there's a lot of things to pan out for them, but 2022, I think, really is important for Parramatta. Because with Moses with an option, Brown with an option, the guys they've got leaving and who you're going to roll in, that window, I think, certainly right now is open, and it's going to close after 2022.
Yeah.
For Penrith, I guess, like you said, take all those things, get back to neutral as well, and start again. You're no longer undefeated. The home streak's broken.
Yeah.
Rolling into Origin, like I said, if they only lose one or two games, they'll be very, very happy. They'll be in a position again to rest some of their players, come into the back end of the season and try and charge home. But there's some really good performances in this. The Leota shot on Paulo was one of the biggest hits I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was big.
I was
wrong earlier as well. Parramatta got beat by Penrith twice last year. So
there you go.
They didn't beat Penrith and Melbourne to start last year. They beat Melbourne.
Gutherson, energy was huge. Thought Paulo was absolutely outstanding. Brown. Madison's form, I know we say it a lot of times, people come into a contract year, but he had a real bad run of head knocks last year.
It's also a different role. He's not just pinned.
But it suits him for the fact, like we said at the start, the way the game's going, he used to play six. He was a junior kangaroo six. He can ball play. He's got footwork. He's big. He's mobile. Him playing out of the middle for them is perfect. And it's just add another dimension. But they're talking, there's five or six clubs right now that are after him. And pending, he hasn't had any issues with the head knocks lately, which is a good thing. If he has a clean run of health, which is what you want to see for players, you never wish that upon anybody.
Yeah.
He's in a really good position right now, and I think with what they've lost, they're going to have to sit down and try and make sure they keep him on board. I know he's not playing that edge role anymore, but certainly wouldn't want to be losing him the way things are going right now. But, yeah, moving on from that one, Manly Tigers, 36-22. I think I was more impressed with this one by Manly, and I know, you know, the Tigers are still down the bottom end, and they're not the strongest of teams in the competition, but to get into a game, Tom's first game back, you've had late reshuffles. They lost both their back rowers on game day, Schuster, Olakau'atu. They're still missing Paseka. They've had people in and out every single week. I just thought, considering the reshuffle, they were very, very good and adjusted on the fly very, very well. Ben moving into the back row, you know, the young guys, Cooler, Tuipulotu, but the biggest one was Cherry Evans. It was all him. He dominated. He had his hands in everything. Down that right-hand side in particular, they really picked on that edge and tried to pull things apart. There was a lot of times where he'd play down that short side, they'd get a quick play of the ball, he'd look like he's going to play back to the open, and then he'd just bounce straight back down that short side. He picked him apart a few times out of position or disconnected in that line.
Yeah,
I thought him in particular. The Tigers, I wouldn't say, I had a few people at work, the Tigers fans, go, oh, we're back to being how we were before. I'm like, I disagree. Because the Tigers a few weeks ago wouldn't have pegged back those tries or got themselves back in the contest. They just would have got lit up by 50 or 60 points.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the start was too much to overcome. They gave up 20 points. They had that sin bin, which ended up being pretty critical and hurting. But yeah, they showed spirit to get themselves back into the game. But in the end, it was too little too late. Once Manly grabbed those couple of tries at the back end to get it out to 24-12, which was, I think it was Ally A crashed in, which was pretty disappointing. There was four guys there.
Yeah.
And he dragged him over the line. That sort of broke the back of the Tigers. But yeah, I thought, like I said, DCE was very impressive. If you're part of the Trbojevic clan or his parents, it would have been a super happy day to see all three of your sons playing in a game.
Mm.
If you've got kids, that was...
yeah, it would have been, yeah. It's
really, really good day for Ben.
A huge, just to have one trial play in a real play. Yeah, let alone three.
Two that are rep players and then have a third coming and play first grade.
Mm. It was, yeah, it's...
Still not sold, though. I've had a lot of people message after this week, especially Manly fans, but people said, what does he play? Well, in the juniors, he played centre, mostly.
But
he sort of does. I don't know if he's quick enough, but big back row, is he big enough? I don't know. He's definitely, like, he's grown over the last 2 years. There hasn't been much junior football.
Yeah.
But he'd probably be one of those two positions, centre or back row. Where he ends up leaning, I don't know. With the way their team's constructed right now, if Foran's leaving to let Schuster go into the back row, but Tuolungi's coming over and you've got Olakau'atu, I don't think back row is going to be where he's playing. So he's probably in the mix there with guys like Harper and Parker, whose form hasn't been the greatest. If he can take advantage, he might be able to hold that jersey along with Cooler. So it could be a bit of a new generation coming through there at Manly in the back line.
Yep.
But overall, good day for them. I thought the spine as well was very helpful. Croker had one of his better games. It was a real team win led by DC. But for the Tigers, Staffatoa had some good moments, but also had some bad moments. He come through the grades playing that fullback role, so he's got an opportunity there, obviously, with Laurie out at the moment. Off of Hengiawi, I thought last year he was absolutely horrendous. His form, in particular, last month has been really good.
Yeah, it has been good.
But, yeah, their start, the sin bin, and just defensively, they'll pour again. Like, James Tarmo missed seven tackles. Luke Brooks got picked apart eight or nine times.
Leaking 30, you can't
stuff
do it.
Like that. It just adds up at the end of the day.
Speaking of leaking 30.
Titans. 44-16 against the Roosters. And before we get into the game, this is one of the sort of points I was talking about, things that we were talking about to link in. Kieran Foran, because of that financial situation, is basically on his way out for that reason, is signing with the Gold Coast Titans for 2 years. Do you think, and without trying to be, you know, pushing it that way, but do you think this is almost a bit of an admittance that letting Fogarty go was a mistake, or keeping definitely a key half there, or definitely someone to steer? You know?
Definitely, yeah. Look, I think it's different from Fogarty because he's so experienced.
Yeah.
And...
But just a steady, I guess, like steering wheel.
I said it in the preview, like, I wasn't confident on the Gold Coast this year. I left them out of my eight.
Yeah.
Just through the lack of experience in the spine. And, you know, again, I highlighted just that they've got no appetite to defend. We're not a defensively resilient club. That you look at the way that they defended, particularly some of those trials on our left edge.
Yeah, your left edge. It was diabolical.
It was schoolboy level stuff, and I don't want to bash them up.
No,
it was difficult to watch. I turned it off after 29 minutes. I just really struggle to watch them at the moment. They don't look enthusiastic. They don't look like they've got any passion for the jersey. I think that's an issue as well. There's not. You can talk about culture. You can have Mel Meninga there all you want. You can bring those people in and around the team, but in the end you need to recruit players that want to be there for the right reasons and that, you know, want to, you know, bleed for that jersey. That you go back and you talk about that 2010 team, you know, you had Rogers Frankie, and Prince and Rogers, Frankie and Prince, like they're guys Bailey, that love the club.
Even Friend, to, Preston. Yeah, like,
they all wanted to love the club and wanted to see the team do well, irrespective of their own personal agenda or their own personal gain. I don't envy the position that Justin Holbrook's in. Some of it I think he's created himself.
Yeah.
But a lot of it I think has to do with that external stuff that I spoke about, right? I really do think it's an issue, and I think it's a generational issue. I don't think it's been... It's not the fault of any coach. I think it's just... The club just reaches far too often to try and look for a quick fix when really we just... We're not really bringing through many juniors. That's a concern because that's where you build your passion. You have guys come through your system that actually want to wear that jersey. And the other one is you're having to go and pay overs for players, which just gets your cap out of whack. I like the foreign signing. I think from the reports, I think we've got him for the right price, which is good. And hopefully he can stay fit.
That's the main thing.
And stay on the field because there's no argument that if he's on the field, he's gonna help us because he's a hard head. He's a very good defender.
Yeah, he plays direct. He kicks
well. He runs well. He's got all those attributes that I think
certainly straight are good for the
team. Yeah. So there's another couple of areas that we need to address, but
and probably
I think you could just flush this season now. And again, like learning in first grade, I keep talking about learning in first grade, and you got some guys there that just, you know, they're first graders, but they're not quite consistent first graders. There's a big difference. And you just get found out.
Yeah, like I said on the weekend, I rewatched the game and I looked at someone like Sexton in a team that didn't look that great or
rewatching it.
A forward pack that, you know, I think is going backwards, and even guys like Tino and Mo are starting to slow down a little bit when you carry that burden for the first sort of 4 to 6 weeks. They're even looking a bit defeated as well. But he forced a couple of the dropouts. He had his hand in some good moments. Defensively is probably the biggest thing when you're a kid coming in. But if you're going to have him and you're going to have young Tommy Weaver as an Australian schoolboy who you've got in your top squad coming through, you need somebody like a foreign over the top of that. And that's why I was surprised that they extend Fogarty last year for 3 seasons at the back end of the year. And before too long, it's only a couple of months, and all of a sudden they're pushing him out the door.
Well, pushing him out the door, he wanted to go.
But they announced before, straight after that, basically, in the off-season, that he wasn't going to be the halfback. So he went to them and was like, okay, what's going on? They just signed a 3-year extension.
Yeah.
So it was a bit strange.
Probably dodge a bullet, really. Look at the injury.
So, he's ended up injured. Anyway, he's not played any football. But, yeah, I think for this sort of situation, like you said, with what they're trying to bring through, he'd be somebody very, very good for Sexton and Tommy Weaver to learn off. That's for sure.
Definitely.
And it takes pressure off Brimson. All guys around, 9 is still the area that needs to be addressed, though. Still definitely needs to be addressed. But, left edge was the biggest thing out of this game. I didn't know whether to sit here again and take much away from this. I kind of felt about this game similar to what I said here when the Roosters played the Cowboys. There was 3 sin bins in that game. So I didn't find it a true reflection of the game and the scoreline. If you play 30 minutes short, you should lose. And I know there's a game coming up later on where we're going to talk about that, but I didn't really buy into that form. And the Roosters, I haven't really been able to buy into it. I haven't really had a performance. The week before, they were dreadful. But the other night, I more looked like you said at the Titans, in particular left edge. How many times they were man on, I had numbers, I had inside cover, and just couldn't make simple tackles, couldn't get off the line, wouldn't play, go forward.
They don't even move together.
They were constantly turned out.
They don't hit with any vigour. It's abhorrent. Their defence is horrible. All the
fundamentals of edge defence.
And there's no doubt that it's getting coached. I've got no doubt that they've got good coaches. Yeah. They've got people that are competent. The players just aren't doing it.
No. And that's the real worry.
You need to work out, either are they not conditioned enough? Are they too fatigued, which is an issue? Or are they just not up to it?
And the scary part, again, after a really poor start, where literally just child's play down that left edge with some real simple one-on-one misses, and even though they were man on, like the first Teddy try, they were just all backpedal and turned sideways. He's just pushed his way through, given it to Manu and got the ball back.
And they've defended like that, again, like I said, for
years.
Generations, through generations of coaches. But
they found a way back in this game somehow. And they built pressure through Sexton for 15, 20 minutes and got back to 24-16. But after that,
but imagine if they could just keep a team to 18 points.
Oh.
That's where they've got to get to as an organization. It's the Parramatta
game, man, you went to.
Yeah.
Scored a squillion points, but the game was exactly that. No defense, all attack, which suited them fine. But Melbourne's Penrith, these sort of teams, they're not going to do that to you.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be able to defend. But yeah, there was a try off the top, mate. I can't remember which one it was now. I think it was the Tupou try. Walker took an intercept after they built all that pressure. They've basically got 50 metres for free, gone down the other end of the field, crossfield kick, and that was the one that broke the back after the little fight back. And then the back end of the game was just child's play. Tedesco, short side, disconnected line again, runs straight to that left edge, which has turned out 20 metres from their line, not coming up and not defending their inside shoulder. You know, it was really ugly. So for the Roosters, I guess, I don't really know what to take other than good confidence builder for Teddy. That's the straightest I've seen Kiri play, but again, he wasn't really being pressured or attacked. So hopefully, still, it's a bit of a free run for him. One of Jared's better games. I think their forwards, like we said all year, haven't really been the greatest. And really like what I'm seeing between that edge of Manu and Suhali. They've got some X factor out there right now, and that's only going to get better. So moving on from that one. Some interesting talk the last few days around the Roosters. How much of it's true or not is a different story. Mm. And players linked to the club, but they always are.
It's also very interesting where it all comes from.
Exactly. I couldn't believe some of the names. We're not going to go into that, but moving on. Cowboys, Newcastle, 36-16. Newcastle, lots of changes, lots of injuries, new halves pairing. Put up a good fight in the first half in particular, kept themselves in the game, but you sort of thought that if the Cowboys just held the ball, uncharacteristic errors of them in the first half compared to what we've seen this year, they'd find a way to win.
Yeah.
And they certainly did that in the second half. They found points very early. They kicked, they controlled. Chad Townsend, me and you spoke about it, just keeping the ball in play. Good attacking kicks. And I explained this to someone the other week, I think, that messaged us. They're like, why are they kicking sort of to that spot, you know, midfield on the edge there? Well, if you put those kicks in on the half or the back row, you can get a mismatch.
Yeah.
A lot of these wingers now, with the way they're all trained to, you know, block and shield, it's always centre wingers, and you've generally got pretty even matchups. Or
it also means that they can't block, really.
Exactly, because those guys in field generally don't do it, and they seem to all turn around and ball watch or look at bodies, and they don't really know what to do. But if you've got the two back rows that they've got, in particular, like Lukey and Nenai's just got a nose for scoring tries.
Yeah.
Those guys attack the football, and even the one for Murray Tuilagi. Clearly, there's something they're working on in their training, but they're really picking on that half back row spot and just dropping kicks in field there and putting the ball in play. They got love out of it three times. It's not a coincidence that it's happening week after week after week. But Chad was really good again. Controlled things. Like you said, Tamalolo, those young forwards, really impressive watching those guys week in, week out, and how they're building. It's really, really nice to see. Their back five, really, really good. And I've said it the last few weeks, like we talked about at the start, they didn't quite know how this is going to work out, but realistically, they're in a really good spot. They can't fit Hamiso in at the moment. They've got two or three fullback options if you throw Holmes in the mix. They've got three guys they could play at one. They've got two really good centres at the moment. You've got outside back options. Felt's in his career best form. Tuolungi's playing great. You've got three halves, essentially, because if you didn't have Dearden and Chad, you can play Drinkwater there. Your hooking option, and Robson's doing a really good job. You've got Cotter who can cover there, and you've got plenty of good middles, and you've got dynamic players on your edges.
Yeah.
It's lots of positive for the Cowboys. Newcastle, it's probably more the guys that you'd expect. I know there was a few injured, not a couple of late changes again. If there's someone I want to give it up to, it's David Clemmer. I think his form's actually been really, really good considering the circumstances, and he's found an offload or something different to his game that we hadn't really seen. But I thought him and Tex Hoy under in a tough situation. Caught up very, very late, playing in the halves. I thought he had a few nice touches. He laid on a couple of those tries, but yeah, things are just getting more and more difficult, it seems, for Newcastle. I think, if I remember correctly, today I read in the paper that they had some guys coming back this week, some troops, which is very well needed. I know that Mitch Barnett's back this week after his long layoff, which, again, they need as many bodies as they can right now. Good, tough, experienced bodies.
Yeah.
But yeah. All good. We move on from that one.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Storm Dragons, 42-6. I don't even know really what to say. They've just been chalking up scores week in, week out. It's been incredible. What do we have? 70, 50, 44 against the Bulldogs. Like, it's the amount of points they're scoring and the change of direction for this team the last few years is incredible.
Mm.
They've gone from being, as most people would say, this boring, grinding, robotic football team to being able to play from anywhere on the field. They can play short sides. They can play direct. They can shift the football. They can offload. There's nothing that the Storm cannot do right now. They're a Swiss Army knife in attack. Their halves can both run. They've got two different styles of hookers. And even Harry himself, who was absolutely dynamite on the weekend, he can play different ways as well. He can manipulate. He can dish long. He can run. It's just, it's very, very, very good to watch if you're a fan.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're... they're just potent, aren't they? That's probably the word that
from anywhere
I like to use. Yeah, they're potent. They win tackles. They win the middle. They'll beat you down an edge. They'll beat you at nine. They'll beat you from fullback. They're just very, very difficult team to handle. But I just don't see a lot of teams that are able to go set for set with them. And you know, Parramatta's probably one of only very few that have tested them for any sort of period of time, and they managed to come out over the top. And yeah, South did it for a 20-minute period there and forced them a golden point. I don't think that was Melbourne's best night.
No, that wasn't against full side either.
I don't think the night against Parramatta was their best night either. But yeah, it's tough because you just watch Penrith and Melbourne, and you just think, well, yeah, geez, they just, it's not that they cruise, but they're just, they're just at that high level for very, very long periods of time. You know, they're there for at least 60 to 70 minutes of most games, and so I just can't compete with that. So the challenge for everyone else is to be able to do that by the end of the year. That's going to be the key. And Penrith and Melbourne look like pure standouts at the moment because they've been so dominant early in the year, but people need to understand that, you know, that probably 4 to 6 teams below them, they're not thinking about beating them now. They're thinking about beating them when it's a one-off game, you know, in a prelim or in a grand final. So that's going to be the challenge. I don't know how many teams are going to be able to get up to that level.
Mm.
And, well, I think, you know, you're probably going to have to beat them both in two consecutive weeks. You're probably going to have to beat Melbourne in a prelim and, you know, Melbourne or Penrith in a prelim and then Melbourne or Penrith in the grand final, you would think.
Well, the other part's what we spoke about the other week, though. I think there's improvement there, and they've only sort of had their best team on the park for the last 4 or 5 weeks. The first four rounds or so, there was players missing. There's guys that have played their way back in. There's guys that have got invaluable minutes, and it's going to happen again this week. Like Nick Meaney.
Well, Penrith's also been the same. They've had guys missing as
They've had guys out with Laota and To'o and got Tago and May, and that's what I mean. Well, those guys
back for a month.
Exactly, but that's what I mean. They're going to get better. Origin's going to hurt, and that's only going to bring more people in and more minutes. Melbourne's been able to do the same thing. King's contribution is not unnoticed, I'm sure, by many. But, you know, stuff that you really would say wouldn't watch on the TV. But I think his spot has developed and accelerated with the injuries we had the first few weeks. And then he sort of stayed in that role, which has kept Cheese off the bench, which has allowed us to keep that impact while they've been missing Tui. So that even again, Tui's going to be back in a few weeks.
Yeah,
they're able to play Moroa. Liero's playing an unfamiliar role when he'll probably move into the back row like next year. They've had a couple of different guys playing the back line while they had some injuries in the first few rounds. Meaney's now going to get invaluable time playing at one, a bit like Nico did last year, which gives you another option there with the Pappenhausen situation, which is awful to see that he had an injury in two different legs, the poor bugger. Just as it seemed that he was getting his confidence back and playing to that level, which seen him be the man of the match in a grand final. He pops his PCL in one leg and then tears his hammy in the other.
Yeah.
So they're saying it could be 4 to 6 weeks. It rules him out of a second sort of opportunity to be in that origin circle. They were talking about him as a possible 14 or someone they were considering. So that'll well and truly pull him out of that situation for now. But I guess, again, the one thing you know about Melbourne is they'll see this as an opportunity. Nick Meaney will move into that role. Other guys will get time, probably Aaron Meyer on one wing. I don't know what he's going to do with the centres. I think I saw earlier in the week they're going to ask for an exemption to use Marion Seve. I I get continuity. I was really hoping. I really want to see Will Warbrick, this All-Black Sevens player.
Mm.
He's apparently been carving up the last few weeks. I thought Coates, who's started as a centre, more a winger now in first grade, but he can play there. I thought maybe they would have pushed him into the centres, put Warbrick on that wing, and then brought Aramire in on the other side.
I don't think it really matters. It
looks like they've gone for Seve. Whether that lasts for the whole 6 weeks or month, I don't know. And the other one was the young kid, Jack Howth. They've been playing in the lower grades as a centre or a back rower. He's the man they've signed for the next 4 or 5 years to play in the back row, probably replacing Kenny and Felice. So I'm sure they'll figure it out over the next few weeks. I mean, all those guys are going to have to play some football because Origin's coming up anyway.
Yeah, you just expose them to first grade and see how they're going.
But for the Dragons, I must give a rap.
They were good for probably 50 minutes.
They probably should have conceded an extra 4 or 5 tries. There was some scramble efforts that they saved. There was a couple of no tries on Melbourne's part as well, but they certainly held on for dear life for as long as they could.
That was also, I thought, the difference last week when they played the West Tigers. The West Tigers were there. They had plenty of opportunities.
Heaps of opportunities.
Their defence was stoic. Like, you can say what you want about the quality of the opposition, but you know, it stood up. The effort and the scramble stood up. But when you get real quality sides,
yeah,
and they just get consistent ball on your line, they're going to get you eventually.
Well, I had a friend ask me today. He's a Dragons fan at work, and he said, "Will we beat the Titans this week?" And I said, "Well, this one I just wouldn't put my money on." And he goes, "The bookies have it as a pick'em."
Just
I said, "Well, for a good reason." I said, "You guys defend really well, but your attack's not great. They attack really well, but they can't defend."
Mm.
So it's a contrast of styles. It could go one way. It could be an absolute toilet bowl.
Mm.
Or it could be, you know, a point scoring fest one way. But you just don't know. But yeah, for the Dragons, it was a hard day. But man, for what they absorbed and what they held on to for a long period of time.
Benny Hunt, a big rap. He's playing some really good footy.
He has been playing some good footy. Yeah, they got a late consolation try through a couple of their kids making some contributions and getting DeBellin over, but overall...
I heard some people bagging out Moses and Byers, right? Jeez, I thought he did a good job early, saving some tries and just filling in the defence. Like he's not what everyone thinks he is. Like, he's not going to be that flashy player.
He does
an
effort job.
Player. Yeah, that's right. He's going to go wherever you put him, and he's going to do his George best.
But it's more the point, I think, for fans in particular, what I said earlier in the year, like, what's your long-term goal here?
Yeah, but also, like, what's your expectations of him?
Yeah, I know, but he's not going to play one for you for the next 3 years, so...
No, but he might fill a hole and be a competent first grader.
Oh, he's certainly a competent first grader.
At a good contract price, you'd think.
Yeah, but 11 line breaks conceded, 50 missed tackles, 19 offloads, they just got broken down constantly, but they scrambled really hard. And then they struggled in the go forward department. I don't think there was a forward over 100 metres. It was 2,000 metres to 1,100. It was a Melbourne massacre. But yeah, Harry Grant from the middle all started with him. Big Nelson, he's 150th. Kenny's 200th. And then Munster just had a field day with all the space they created off that broken second phase.
That's one thing you can't give Melbourne, second phase.
No, and I'm not disappointed. I'm still psyched for this week, but I'm filthy. Because when I saw last week when we were at that game that Lauda and Toto were back, and that we're basically full strength, I'm like, here we go. We're going to play magic round here. These two jacked, ready, locked and loaded. And then Pappenhausen goes down. And Remus Smith looks like he's going to be out for an extended period with that pec injury. So, you know, I really wanted those two to go head-to-head with all their players.
Yeah.
I still think it'll be a very close game. Meany will do a job. But I don't expect the attack, in particular, with the way Pappenhausen links in, to be as smooth this week as it would be with Pappenhausen.
Yeah.
So I expect them to be a little bit more focused on playing through, you know, Harry and the nine position there and getting those halves more on the ball. Meany will definitely do a job, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be anywhere near as influential. And maybe they'll be a bit more direct rather than sideways as compared to what they would be with Pappenhausen. But moving on from that one, last one here was the Sharks-Warriors game. And as a lot of people would say, when you lose somebody for 60-plus minutes, you're basically writing off the result, but that wasn't the case. The Sharks won that game, and even the Ramien shot, man, people were arguing about, you know, is Kennedy's a send-off or not a send-off? I thought that one was a send-off, if we're being serious, Ramien KO'd a bloke.
Yeah.
That one should have been a send-off. So I thought the 10 minutes, he was pretty lucky after what they've been.
Well, I thought they probably got him in the wrong order. If I was going to give my opinion,
I thought the Kennedy one was ugly, probably
a sin bin, and I thought the Ramien one. Yeah, but again, it's like it's about intent as well.
Yeah,
I sort of go like,
I'm not going off intent.
Well, I am. I firmly believe that it should just be like the deliberate intentional contact of the head should be a send-off.
Well, the tackle that Kennedy did was intentional. He's trying to stop him. He's got himself in a bad position.
Was it, yeah, he's not intending to hurt,
but he's intended to do anything he can. So, you know.
I just think...
But Ramian's is a case of, like, you've gone in, it's shoulder just straight to the face, you've KO'd a bloke. You've got it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you hit that hit there, you can't give that anything. Like, I still want blokes to come
in. Do you think the intent is to hit him in the head?
No. When you get it wrong, you get it wrong.
That's where I just think we're treading a really fine line at the moment.
And he was too upright, and it was just straight on the
back. And I'm not arguing any of that. Yeah. I thought they were both clearly contact to the head. They were clearly dangerous. But I agree. I think the Ramian one was more dangerous than the Kennedy one.
Well, look at the result. I know the result shouldn't matter, but it was plain as day.
It shouldn't matter, but I mean, it's not even so much the result is the result of the impact, isn't it?
And you know he wasn't coming back, and he didn't. He got flatlined. That was not pretty.
It wasn't pretty, no.
But full credit to them, because they essentially played the way the Warriors should have played after that. They bunkered down. They completed really well. They forced three or four dropouts. They built pressure. They ended up making the Warriors make 100-plus tackles. You think the Warriors were short? They were the team playing with them. And they did the complete opposite. They just folded. They looked tired the back end of the first half. Couldn't believe how. With a sin bin, then they had the 11-man period. There's been a lot of criticism of Johnson, and I think somewhat rightly so. You've brought him back. He sort of showed some change in his last few years at the Sharks, that he was a bit more of a game manager and was starting to get more of those things in his game. Like, with the forward pack you've got, the role forward you can get through those guys, in particular the front rowers and Lodge, and for Noah Blake, if you're playing with 12 or 11, you just want to shorten the lineup by putting a dent in the front door, getting numbers in the ruck, then playing off the back of it. And then kick him to death, put him in a corner, and just smoke him for 60 minutes and bring him out of there. They did none of that. They built zero pressure. I just could not believe they lost that game. And then the way they lost at the back end, conceding those couple of tries and the Sharks just coming over the top of them, I was blown away. Completely blown away. Huge, huge credit to the resilience of the Sharks. What they're building there after, you know, I was disappointed with the Brisbane game the week before. That's a great bounce back. A hell of a bounce back if you're a Sharks fan.
Yeah.
I didn't say Nico wasn't a half, but I kind of questioned the amount of money they paid to get Nico there. Watching Nico at one again, I still think he's a much better one than he is a seven. I like what they're doing with him and Moylan, and like, it works, but watching him at one again and the freedom he gets playing at the back, he was very, very good when he went back to fullback.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think naturally this week it's a pretty easy reshuffle, and they've got great
versatility. They know that he's a one.
Yeah, and they've got
a six. Like, I don't think there's much between a six and a one.
No, it was more like
modern footy. Apart from the fact that, you know, the one obviously sweeps a lot more, and the six, traditionally, a lot of teams like to play, obviously, with the sort of from that 6-4 you know, whatever they call it, the tram, or sort of from that far post, wherever you get a 6-4 split in the defensive line. And you like to have both halves and the fullback linked together, like get your three key positions together. The Sharks have got at the moment is that they can flip Moylan and Hines and have one run as a sweep, one run as the front man. They can change the look of their shape, so I think that's a benefit. But when they get into those grinding games, where they have to kick the corners and, you know, set ends and all that sort of stuff,
They don't have that guy.
They're going to have to learn that. And I think Fitzgibbons, it seems like a really astute guy and a good coach. I think behind the scenes he's going to be adding little bricks to that over the next sort of 3 months. So
and with come Kennedy
finals time, they're going to be able to have that string to their bow. Because, to be quite honest, if they don't, they're going to be fodder for those better sides in the finals.
Yeah, and I think with Kennedy there, you know he wasn't going to be playing one. I don't dispute that at all. It was just more the fact when he went there and they said he's going to be the halfback, I'm thinking, I looked at Trindle and I think if he's not injured round one, he plays there. And obviously the Moylan thing's working out, but I think this is going to work itself out naturally, because apparently Moylan right now and his management want 2 years, and I don't know about the money side of things.
So where would you play Moylan as your 14?
They're not keen on that situation, so he may not be there at the end of this season anyway, if they can't come to an agreement, which to me brings Trindle straight back in the fold as the halfback. And that gives you someone naturally who not only, again, is a good ball runner and dangerous attacking player, but he's played seven. He can kick, he can control, and that puts Hines more back to where I want him to be.
Hmm.
Not having to control the game.
I just like the fact that they're playing a style.
I like the players they play. I love the way they play.
I think a lot of people are sort of uncomfortable because, it's not the traditional
block
and land on this tram and, you know, like, this is footy, mate. Like,
they're the players you've got. Like, I love what Craig Fitzgibbon's doing with that team. Yeah, and I love what Todd Payton's doing with his team. I think they're both coaching to the players they've got. I think it's very astute and very, very good coaching. But it's sadly, it's outside the realms of what normally happens to coaches. They just, you know, they'll look at Melbourne and look at Penrith and go, well, we're just going to play that way because that's what is successful. It's not,
you can't even,
that's
look, not at, you can't even look at Melbourne
That's not
anymore,
what
though.
Success is. Because, well, Melbourne have flipped completely.
Well, remember we said this, and that was the thing I was so happy about in 2020. As soon as that rule come in, six again, oh, Melbourne's screwed. Melbourne can't do that.
Yeah, well, like, and they totally adapted.
You're talking that, like, they can't play, you know, can't play any football. They don't have it in. They play to the rules or to the situation or the squad they've got always. There's subtleties every year that change. But the moment that rule changed, and that was supposed to be the death of them, they become the best attacking side in the competition.
Yeah. And they're on par again to beat their record from last year, aren't they, in terms of points?
Well, that, again, that, then 2021 they added to that, and then this year they're looking even more potent.
Yeah.
So the rule changes certainly didn't hinder them.
I just keep betting them to win by 30 or more every week. I know you laugh at me, and a lot of people laugh at me and go, that's ridiculous. How many? Go and have a look at how many games they've won by 30 or more this year. It's an absolute cash cow.
I can think of five.
Well, there you go. And they pay $3 to $4 every time 30 plus.
But in this situation, yeah, this was very impressive. You know, and like I said, they've got natural cover here, the Sharks, and this is what we talked about in the pre-season preview when I heard some people saying, particularly in the back line, they're short. I'm like, well, they're not. It's because Talakai was a centre, and I said it for 6 weeks when all the commentators, oh my God, I can't believe what he's doing. It's like, he was a junior Kiwi centre. You got Lachlan Miller, who they haven't even used yet, who clubs, in particular the Bulldogs, have been sniffing around the rugby sevens player they brought. He's apparently been murdering Cup as a fullback.
Yeah.
They've got guys like Mulitalo, who can play centre wing. Sifa, like I said, Connor Tracy, who is a junior kangaroo number six, who can play wing, centre, fullback. They've got guys that can cover multiple positions. Teague Wilton, who I think has been ultra impressive in that back row, looks like he's going to be a long-term, you know, replacement there sort of for Wade Graham. He can play in that position. He's been really good. So I think this weekend, Tracy will come back into the centres. Mulitalo will cover that wing spot with Ramian and Kennedy out. Fullback, you push Nico back and Trindle comes straight back into seven. So they've got that cover in their squad, and I think, you know, they'll just keep playing and they'll do a good job.
Yeah.
But they were really impressive on this day. Really impressive. Nico in particular. McInnes keeps getting better with the more minutes he plays. Wilton, like I said, just an all-around great effort. But for the Warriors, it's been a real mixed bag. I thought at the start of the year, they were in every single game, they were very, very close. But from the 70-point loss to a win last weekend to then dishing this up this weekend, at the moment, you just don't know what you're going to get. I hope they keep things at least in check and keep sort of, you know, getting wins here and there around the losses and get back to New Zealand in a position where they're still in the hunt for the eight. I'd hate to think that their return home is all in vain and they go on a poor run here and sort of fall apart. I wouldn't want to see that.
No.
And, yeah, there's a lot more talk after last week's around Brown and the club and what they're doing, but I just think, really, who's done a good job over there? It's sort of been a death knell for any coach that's gone to the Warriors.
You don't want my opinion.
Well, how long did Kearney get?
I don't know.
And before that, it was old mate from England who used to coach over there. He was the Kiwi coach. I think he only lasted a year or two. McLennan, wasn't it?
It's definitely volatile over there.
Everyone that certainly seems volatile to have gone barely last 2 years. So I'm like, again, in this situation, you've got a coach here who's just coming to year two.
So I think someone like Rowan Smith would have been good to go over there.
Well, I think so.
Because he's got roots at the club. Brian Smith was doing a little bit of work there. And he's a different coach. He's a more modern coach. He's an adaptable coach, right? I think he would have really fit their style. Like, you look at the style of play that he's
embedded
the Devils. Like, they, you know, I've had a little bit to do with him as well, and he's just different. Like, well, he's got a different view on
the point you're bringing up will have to be considered, because again, I don't agree that they'll make a change
this year.
Rhino's
job, but
if they come into next year and things are looking grim, they need to go left of centre. They need to change their point of attack.
Yeah,
we talked before about guys like the Walker brothers and Warriors players and Kiwi players naturally having a bit more flair and playing that attacking football, or a guy like Rowan Smith, like you said, is a bit more forward thinking with attack and the way he plays. If they get to a situation come next year, unless things drastically plummet this year where they go, this isn't working, they definitely need to go somewhere different. They can't keep rolling through the same old, same old.
Yeah.
They need to change a point of attack. But great for the Sharks, bad for the Warriors. Let's see what happens this weekend. And as we wrap that up, thanks to bluebet.com.au, we now jump into our previews and tips for Magic Round. And what a hell of a round it's going to be, and the way it's worked out has been absolutely outstanding. Dogs, Newcastle, both teams at the bottom. Two wins apiece go head-to-head. Me and then the Broncos, two teams that are in the bottom end of the eight, going head-to-head. You've got the Warriors and Souths, who have both been up and down playing each other. Titans, Dragons, two teams, again, probably Dragons ahead right now, but again, in a similar sort of tussle. Top of the table, Storm, Panthers, Sharks, Raiders. It doesn't matter where those two are on the ladder. The last couple of years, they've had legitimate beef, and it always seems to be a good game of football. Roosters, Parramatta, fifth and sixth. You've got Parramatta, who's taken two huge scalps. You've got the Roosters, who were just waiting for them to jump out of the ground and show us what we want to see. And then you finish off with the Tigers versus the Cowboys.
Hmm.
So I think there's some really good games this week, and that's sort of worked out really, really well. That so many of them are, you know, lined up right next to each other on the ladder
100%.
After 10 rounds. So can't wait for that. But let's get into it, shall we? The first game we've got, Dogs, Newcastle. And for that one, in terms of changes for the Friday night of Magic Round kicking off at Suncorp Stadium, Trent Barrett has Chris Patolo coming to the bench for Arva Siamatafono, who switches to 18th man. And Fatala Mariner is included for the first time in a long time in the reserves as he looks to make a return from that very, very complicated foot injury that he had. For the Knights, a double boost for them. Mitch Barnett comes back after a long suspension. Adam Clune is back in from his injury this week, and it's good timing after Jack Johns busted his arm last week. Suaso Su has also been included in the reserves after missing last week to a head knock. Edric Lee needs to pass a HIA, and there's no sign of Tyson Vrizel and Dane Gagai, despite making a suggestion they could both return. So that hurts because Vrizel pulled out with illness last week, but not as many troops back in as I would have thought. But how do you see this one, Boxhead? It's a tough one to pick.
I got no idea.
I thought they would have had Frizzell back in, Barnett back in, like three or four this week. Which
are they in there? Are they in the extended? No, they're not.
No, they're not included at all. So realistically,
I've got no idea.
Crossland's going back to the bench.
I'll go Newcastle. I thought they played quite well actually in patches against the Cowboys, but I genuinely have no idea. Good luck. Like, how are you going to draw a line of form through that game?
Yeah. I definitely saw some positives in the first half. The Dogs let me down. I thought, you know, you'd look like to make a, you know, a point and build on what they did the week before. Oof.
Yeah, you're overthinking something.
Yeah. I'll tip the Dogs, but I think Newcastle will win. I can see Newcastle win, but I expected more troops back. I really did. But the odds of this one brought to you by bluebet.com.au, $1.70 for the Dogs, $2.15 for the Knights, -2.5 is the line, 1-12 Dogs, $2.95, $3.25 the Knights, 13+ for the Dogs, $3.70, $4.95 the Knights. Manly Broncos should be a cracker Friday night football there for game two of Magic Round. And for Manly, Olakau'atu returns after withdrawing last week. Ben Trbojevic and Ethan Bullimore maintain their spots in the starting side with Morgan Harper listed in the reserves. So that means Ben Trbojevic obviously goes to the Senators with Olakau'atu back in the back row. Bullimore staying in the back row. And Andrew Davey comes back onto the bench after his shoulder injury. Kurt Deloise is out. Schuster's still got a calf injury. He's in the extended squad, but he's unlikely to play. For the Broncos, Haas and Catewell are both back into the side. Carrigan moves to lock. Hetherington to the bench. TC Ribardi the reserves. Ryan James and Turpin also back into the reserves. I think this would be a tight contest.
Yeah,
and looking, no Schuster. They're still missing Paseka, so they're a bit lighter in their rotation. But mind you, having LOA back in with Kepi allowed him to push Tapao back to the bench with Sipley to get some impact. Like, Walker's really good off the bench. I think the big one for me here is the test for their outside back. So you've now got Trbojevic defending out in the centres along with Cooler up against Staggs and Farnworth. That could be an interesting point there for Brisbane if they can get the ball there. Mm. I still have more faith in Manly, in particular their spine, so I'll go with the Eagles. But yeah, I think if Brisbane can hold up in the middle and get some chances to attack the edges there, they've got some young guys there they can definitely try and expose.
Definitely. I want to go Manly.
Manly as well. And with bluebet.com.au, Manly are $1.60, $2.35 for the Broncos, -3.5 is the line. And the line 3.5, sorry, margin. 1-12 for Manly, 285-360 for the Broncos, 13+, 297 for the Eagles, 640 for the Broncos. Saturday kicks off with two teams that definitely need to play some better football and need a win. The Warriors up against the Bunnies. Flip a coin, God. The Warriors, huge in for them. Tohu Harris returns from that knee. He goes straight into the back row. Hasn't played since round 18 last year. Marcelo Montoya returns to suspension. Adam Pompey goes to the centres. Rocco Berry out of the side and in the extended reserves. Two signings they made this week. Ronald Volkman, the young seven from the Roosters. And Freddie Lussick also comes over for the Roosters to join their squad. And for the Rabbitohs, Cody Walker has been named captain in the absence of Cameron Murray. He's gone for scans, and I'm pretty sure it was said this afternoon he'll be getting surgery and out for at least a month and is in doubt for Game 1 of Origin. Jacob Hoste returns from injury. He goes to second row. Arrow goes to lock. Thomas Burgess is back from a late injury withdrawal last week. Moale goes to the bench, and Jackson Paulo is promoted from cup straight back into the centres. Tarsus is out, and Cody Nikorima comes straight into the 17 after his release from the Warriors to join the Bunnies to give them a utility. And that spot I spoke about earlier in the year is a real problem for me. I don't like Paulo on the centres. I think if he plays anywhere, it's on a wing. I know they've now moved Milne back to the edges. He can be a bit rocks and diamonds defensively, but I think he at least makes some better decisions or is a bit more aggressive as a centre. But I also go back to the point I made earlier in the year that if they're just going to keep recycling on these guys and it's not working, at some point he's going to have to bite the bullet and get one of those two young kids in, whether it be Josiah Carapani or Terrell Kalokala. Because if they're just going to keep going through these guys and they're not happy and you centre, you're wing, and we can't get our edge combinations right, you're better off throwing in one of those very talented kids you've got and get some games in them.
Yeah.
But this week, probably not as big a factor. You've got Viliami Valera on the other edge for the Warriors, who's only very, very young and inexperienced. So the matchup's probably not as much of a headache. But yeah, for me, I think Paulo's a winger, not a centre. A lot of pressure again on Walker again this week without Murray there to do his job. Who do you like? Do you think Seahawks can find a win?
Man.
I'm going to do the unthinkable. I've done it a few times now, but after a bad performance, they seem to win. So I'm tipping the Warriors. I think with Murray missing...
Yeah, I'm not tipping the Warriors. I'll tip South.
Yeah. I've got zero confidence in either, but this is a real make or break week for me with them. Like, you take Murray out now on top of the pressure they've already had, and I know the Warriors are absolutely rocks and diamonds, but yeah, I just haven't been impressed that much by South so far. Looking for a bit more. Hopefully we get a response this week with bluebet.com.au. The Warriors, $2.95, $1.40. For South, -6.5 is the line. 1-12, 4-10 for the Warriors, $3 for South. 13+ the Warriors, 8-30, 244 for South. Titans, Dragons again. A hard one to pick, but in terms of any changes there for the Titans, Jaden Campbell returns at fullback for the first time since round 3. Brimson's back into the halves. Will Smith's out. Philip Semi returns from his injury on one wing. Azarko comes in on the other with Corey Thompson and Marju dropping out. Esau Masters comes into the centres for Pat Herbert. Kevin Proctor's been dropped to the reserves. Isaac Liu goes from prop to back row. Jared Wallace is in this front row. Jamin Jolliffe's in the reserves as he comes back. That is a lot of changes. He's definitely wanted to look for a response there. And for the Dragons, zero changes. The same 17 that played last week. George Burgess is the 18th man.
Yeah, I won't tip the Titans until they show me something. They show me Zippo.
Yep, I'm the same. I'll go with the Dragons just mainly off the defensive side of things, even though they're a bit ugly in attack, but that's a hell of a lot of change. Complete new back line. Brimson back into the halves. A few changes in the forward pack. He's certainly looking for a response or trying to get a response out of some
Yeah, balls. I like Campbell back at one. I think you'll see an improvement just in the way we play through him being at one.
No doubt about that. He will certainly straighten him up in attack, that's for sure. Very, very dangerous player. And the odds of this game with bluebet.com.au is $1.95 outside an hour. The Titans at start of a pick'em, $1.85 for the Dragons, -1.5 the line. 1-12, 3-20 Titans, 3-05 Dragons, 13+, 4-55 Titans, 3-95 for the Dragons. Saturday night closes out with the blockbuster. It is the Panthers up against the Storm, and those changes are there. We've got Nick Meaney shifting from wing to fullback with Pappenhausen out. Dean Aramaya comes onto the wing, and they've got approval to get Marion Seve, one of their development guys, to play centre. So he's gone that option rather than Coates and Warbrick, etc. And Kenny Bromwich has been named despite a head knock, so he's obviously going to go through protocols. For the Panthers, things just get even better. They got To'o and Laota back last week, and Sorensen, who missed after illness, comes straight back in as well. So, really looking forward to this. Still think it'll be an absolute cracker of a game, but that last minute sort of change with Pappenhausen having Meany go back there and now having Seve and Eremire in, I think that's definitely a spot I'd be going at. I'm going to go the Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers.
I like the matchups all across the field. I think we've got as much in the spine and definitely in the forward pack and what we can get out. But, yeah, I just think the Meany thing may take a couple of weeks. It may not be as cohesive. And, yeah, Seve, what's Olam? Olam's left side. So Seve's right side of the field. So the left edge there, when you've got Tago, Taylor May, I think there's a bit more leg speed. They might be able to try and expose Seve a little bit.
Yeah, it's sort of a different preparations as well. Like you've had Melbourne have had some injuries and some pretty easy wins. Penrith are coming off that, you know, not shock loss last week, but
nah, tough certainly game.
a tough game. So it'll be interesting to see whether that actually takes juice out of them and whether Melbourne are actually fresh because they've had some easier weeks or vice versa, that it hardens Penrith and Melbourne might look short of a run. It'll just be interesting to see how that form translates into this game.
Yeah, I think, again, To'o got out some huge metres for his return. Laota had a good stint, so those guys have got to run under their belt. I think Penrith will want to respond after last week. I definitely don't see a belt in Melbourne, but I think...
No, I don't think either team will.
No, I think they're in a good spot.
We'll run away with it.
In a very, very good spot here coming into Melbourne this weekend. And the odds with bluebet.com.au, $2.15 outside of the Storm, $1.70 for the Panthers, -2.5 the line, 1-12 Storm, 350, 285 for the Panthers. 13 plus Storm, 490, 365 for the Panthers. And the triple to finish Magic Round Sunday sees the Sharks up against the Raiders for the second time this season. For the Sharks, those changes as expected. Hines back to fullback, Tracy to the centres, Mulitalo's back in on the wing, Trindle into seven. And in terms of any other changes they've got there, you obviously know that Ramien is suspended and Kennedy suspended for their two tackles. McInnes has been named on the bench as Dale Finucane comes back in at lock. Royce Hunt onto the bench and Fifita goes to the reserves for the Raiders. Sebastian Chris comes to the bench in to replace Jared Croker, who's out with that shoulder. Xavier Savage joins the interchange bench. Like I said, those changes for me pretty much sort themselves. They've got great versatility and for that reason and the way they've been playing. Sharks, the Raiders.
Sharkies,
I
yeah.
I think this is a bridge too far. If they can turn up and show a good effort with that, it'd be a bit of a sign of life, but we're still yet to see enough from the Raiders, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And with bluebet.com.au, Sharkies $1.25, Raiders $4, going ahead there, I am. Bloody hell. -11.5 is the line, so hefty line. 1-12 Sharks, $3.15, $5 for the Raiders. 13 plus Sharks, $2, $11 for the Raiders. Roosters para, another cracker for that Sunday. For the Roosters, Verrill's shocking run of injury for him. He can't take a trick. Collarbone injury, not sure how long, but Connor Watson, convenient timing, comes back in this week at hooker. Tokiaho promoted into the starting side for Lindsay Collins, who's suspended. And Saluka Fifita is the new man on the bench. Adam Kieran comes back into the reserves. Brad Arthur's named the same side that got the job done last week. Sean Russell is included in the reserves after getting a run under his belt last week in the New South Wales Cup. I'm going to tip the Eels, and this is one of those games where I look at it, and if the Roosters can win a game like this, I'll be starting to believe that they're heading in the right direction. Yeah, but for now, I just don't trust them enough.
I can't see them beating Parramatta.
Not with the way Parramatta come out and
play that way, play that tough style, the Roosters won't be able to handle that.
Yeah, certainly agree with you. In particular, their go forward with questioning how direct and winning that middle in a lot of games this year, this is certainly a huge test for them.
Definitely.
So if they can somehow get this result, it would be a good sign they're trending in the right direction and doing what Robinson said, which is month by month getting better. But bluebet.com.au agree. The Roosters probably closer than what I expected. $2.10. Parramatta $1.75. -2.5 the line. 1-12 Roosters $3.40. $2.90 para. 13 plus Roosters $4.65. $3.80 para. And things close out with the cracking Cowboys up against the Tigers, who have been a lot more energetic the last few weeks. Luciano Leilua going up against the club that he'll be playing for in 12 months' time. And the only change, by Maguire, sees him return, Luciano, into the side. Seyfarth goes back to the bench. Thomas McKaylee moves to the reserves. Marmolo has been named despite failing HIA last week with a long turnaround. They'll be hoping he's available. Todd Payton has named an unchanged lineup for his team. So there you go. I think this run's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
The way they've been playing their football, you stick with the Cowboys for the time being. And,
yeah.
Until they tell you otherwise. But yeah, they certainly haven't showed really a weakness across the park at this point in time.
No.
They've got good discipline. They defend really well. They do all the small things right. They contest kicks. They kick pressure. They strangle you coming out of yardage. All the little things you'd like to see as a coach, on top of the fact they've got some great individual talents and now they've got a steering wheel that can utilise them. Things are looking real positive for the Cowboys.
Definitely, yeah.
And the odds on this one with bluebet.com.au. The Tigers, $3.20 outsiders, $1.35 for the Cowboys, minus 8.5 the line. 1-12, Tigers, $4, $3 for the Cowboys. 13+, Tigers, $9, $2.34 for the Cowboys. You're up for the charity bet this week. Is there anything you liked out of anything we just looked at? Is there any head-to-heads? Any value?
No, not really, I don't think.
Like the Panthers-Storm game, I wouldn't be betting on. Not the head-to-heads anyway.
We can't have multis, can we?
No, it's got to be a single.
What about Parramatta 13+? What price?
Para 13+, $3.80. Big win.
Yeah.
I reckon line total double wouldn't be too bad if you only got to chew 2.5. I don't know what the overs would be, but if it's 40-something, you'd probably get $3 for that.
Well, they're expecting rain.
Ah, okay. That's not good. I haven't looked at the weather. We'll get there one day.
We'll get there.
And for this round, again, Bluebet have a cracking offer, and that's that on all NRL games, if you back your team head-to-head and they lead by 6 points or more at halftime, they will pay you out as a winner up to $100. Lead by 6 at halftime, you win. Terms and conditions apply. Gamble responsibly. As we always say, there's no one better to bet with than the True Blue Aussie Bookie. Download the app today. Visit the website. Support the bookie that supports us and is giving back to charity, which is always good. Fingers crossed we can get a win for the account this weekend. If you are someone who is attending Magic Round, I'm extremely jealous. Enjoy some Schoonamis. I hope you're going for all 3 days and it's an absolute ripper of a time. And like we said, we'll get there one day.
Yeah, we will. It was going to be this year, but
2 years of COVID stopped us. This year, a great opportunity for you. But hopefully next year it lines up and we can get up there.
Yeah.
Would really, really love to spend 3 days drinking beer and watching football. That sounds like heaven.
Yep, it does.
But for now, that's us wrapped up for the week, Boxhead. Thanks to Penrith Solar Centre. Give them a call, Jake and the crew, or visit the website. Thank you, bluebet.com.au. In terms of commentating any games this weekend, I don't know if that's going to work out because
we'll see how we go.
You're at footy and I'm working both days pretty much. So
see how we go.
I'd like to do the Panther Storm game if we can somehow get together and watch that one, but see what we can do. But if that does happen, hijack.tv, you can download that on the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. Look them up on Facebook and the social media, H-Y-J-A-C-K, Hijack TV. Download the app and you can watch along with us as we commentate games. But for now, enjoy your week, enjoy your rugby league and Magic Round. How good?
Bring it on. Give us more. Where are you going? What's going on here? Is that it?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.